Chapter 31. Unbreakable. Sir, get down! Roy ducked, instinctively obeying Hawkeye's shout. Gunfire cracked, loud and sharp in his ear, and he felt the air flutter against his face as the bullet whipped past him. It would not be enough to kill the undead soldier, who almost plunged a knife between his shoulder blades, but it forced him back, giving Roy enough space to snap his fingers. The belch of flame was unimaginably hot as it engulfed the creature, reducing it to ash in seconds. "Brother!" Al's frightened voice, underscored with the first hard edge of unspeakable fury, rang out across the square as he arrived and took in the scene. His claps were fast and precise, splitting the air apart as he trapped and crushed and tore apart the corpses who lunged towards him, reaching out with grabbing hands to try and drag him down. Roy could just make out Winry crouched behind him, her tangled hair falling around her face as she concentrated on something gripped in the fingertips of her left hand. In her right was a sharp, needle-like tool which she wielded expertly. Dispatching another half-rotten body, Roy forced his way closer to where Ed and Carmine fought. The two alchemists were tearing into each other mercilessly, dealing blow after blow, but neither seemed to be gaining any advantage. Carmine bared her teeth around snarled words, but her voice was lost in the din of the storm. Whatever she said brought a flicker of dark, dangerous emotion to Ed's face, and the speed and intensity of every attack increased. He wanted to help, to give Ed some ammunition other than his bare hands and the brutal punch of his alchemy, but every time Roy stepped forward, he was forced back again. The sweeping circle of one of Ed's arrays marked the boundary of the arena in which the two of them battled it out, and every time Roy got even remotely close, the undead soldiers would focus their efforts on him, driving him away. Something wrapped around his neck, bony fingers digging in like steel bars as they pressed down on his windpipe. He scrabbled frantically, trying to break free of the unrelenting grasp as he was dragged backwards. The heels of his boots scraped along the ground as he struggled to find his footing and keep up. Death's stench lingered on the corpse that had him in its grip, and dank, moldering material brushed against Roy's face as he was shaken like a rag doll. It was too close to burn without catching himself on fire at the same time, and Roy could see Hawkeye adjusting her aim, trying to get a clear shot. He was being used like a shield, repeatedly placed in the line of any attack that might free him from his captor. Dragging in a choking gasp, he blinked against the fluttering wings of fear that clouded his vision. Thoughts became scattered and logic began to slip away, lost beneath a thick wave of panic. A stab of pain itched across the back of his left hand, and he remembered the array that Ed had etched into everyone's skin. He had said it would protect them from alchemical attack, but would it protect Roy from his own flames? His breath squeaked in his throat before vanishing entirely, and he realized that he was out of choices. The soldier throttling him was not going to let go until the last thud of his pulse was gone, and there was no way he was going to die at the hands of something that belonged at the bottom of a hole. It took a massive level of concentration to click his fingers, and the rain almost drowned the spark before he had a chance to feed it, twinkling briefly in the darkness. It faded to a pinprick before Roy's alchemy took hold, giving it fierce, incandescent life. Like the wings of a phoenix, the flames swept around him. It filled his vision with a thousand twisting shades of diamond white and bright-edged blue, flaring out to clean, pure gold at its edges. It should have been scorching. He should have been a fading fragment of life in a body of dust. But with a burst of light, the array on the back of his hand activated, shining out through his glove and the line of the designs that marked their fabric. It neutralized the air, taking the energy and pulling it into his body until it was a glowing, steady pool of strength beneath his ribs, bathing him in its warmth. A sharp, heavy hiss filled his ears, and he realized that it was a scream of pain from the dead man behind him. Finally, the fingers around his neck weakened, falling away with a shuddering sigh and leaving him free to step through the veil of fire. It died in his wake, dwindling away, and he resisted the urge to check he had not singed his eyebrows. There was no scent of burnt hair, only the old, ticklish perfume of long-dead embers, already fading beneath the onslaught of the rain.
"What the hell, Roy?"
Hughes called out, a disbelieving frown creasing his face. He sent one of his knives soaring through the air to catch the brittle throat of a young woman who had been charging towards him. She stopped to claw at the protruding weapon, giving Roy a chance to ignite and disintegrate her. With a musical tinkle, Mace's blade fell to the floor, the shiny steel tempered by the heat and the handle slightly melted.
"You're meant to be setting them on fire, not yourself."
"No choice," he replied, clicking repeatedly. When his sparks began to fail, he coaxed tendrils of flame away from the burning timbers that lined one edge of the square. Yet for every dead man and woman he burned, more seemed to take their place. They were still walking out of the alleys and slinking in from the open street, massing in a haphazard army and joining the fight with gruesome enthusiasm. In contrast, his men were flagging. Russell and Fletcher were drawing frantically, racing against the rain to activate the arrays before they were washed away. Blood coated one side of Breida's face where a chunk of rubble had clipped him on the head, but he was still punching anyone who got close enough, breaking fragile bone with every hit. Hawkeye and Havoc were firing and reloading, working in perfect harmony as they kept the undead at bay. Hughes was always sure to keep his back to a wall, watching the scene with sharp, intelligent eyes as he picked his targets, making them hesitate long enough for Roy to catch them in a brief flash of inferno. A shout of triumph snapped his head to the array that contained Carmine and Ed, and Roy's heart lurched under his ribs as he saw the woman thrust the blade of her spear deep into Ed's chest. Pain contorted his face, and Roy felt something impossibly tight catch at his throat, writhing frantically in his stomach as he saw the crimson splash of blood on the ground. Ed slumped to his knees, pitching forward as Carmine tugged the weapon free and smashed the butt of it down between his shoulder blades. He caught his weight on his outstretched palms and gasped ragged breaths at the uncaring stone, the picture of a beaten man. Roy was paralyzed, his fingers still poised to snap as his mind scrambled for something, anything that he could do to stop the inevitable. It could not end like this. Ed was too strong, too stubborn to lose a basic fight. Roy willed his lover to get up, to climb back to his feet and hit back. But his thoughts were mute and his words were trapped like stones lodged in his throat. "Ed!" Winry's voice was a scream through the air, high and desperate as she pulled back her arm and sent a speck of gold flying. It caught the firelight, winking out a meaningless Morse code before it bounced off the cobbles and rolled to a halt. It was still too far away for Ed to reach, but Roy could see the flare of light healing the wound in his chest, staunching the flow of blood and trapping Ed's life within his body again. A grin, quick and sharp, curved the blonde alchemist's mouth, and Roy could see his lips moving. Whatever he said, it made Carmine hesitate. The smug smile fell from her lips, and her eyes narrowed into furious slits. Ed lashed out, his movements too quick to follow as he knocked Carmine's legs out from under her, leaving her in an undignified heap as he rolled away. He snatched the ring from the ground, but Carmine was already on her feet, boots splashing through the pooling rainwater as she sprinted forward. Her hands slammed together and her alchemy bubbled, boiling ink amidst the charcoal and slate of the gloomy day. Something whispered past Roy's face, and his instincts dragged his eyes away from the scene, forcing him to focus on defending himself from the endless attacks of the walking dead. He had to trust Ed to win this fight, to get through to the other side and make all of the pain, suffering, and terror worthwhile. He knew that there was nothing he could do to help. The only thing that was still within his power was to survive until all this was over. He did not let himself dwell on the possibility that it would not end in their favor. If he followed that treacherous path, then he would be lost to despair, and now
Roy needed every piece of determination he could muster. There would be a tomorrow, and they would have a future together, he and Ed, because that was the way things were meant to be. He had to believe that, or he had already lost. "Fallman, watch out!" Hawkeye shouted, her voice carrying clearly through the waterlogged air. She pulled the trigger of her revolver 6 times in quick succession before ducking down to reload. "Don't give them the chance to take you by surprise."
"Fletcher, Russell, get back!" Hughes called out, racing towards the 2 young alchemists
as Roy sent another transmutation crashing through the paving, opening a hole that swallowed 3 shambling soldiers at once. Quickly, before they could fall beyond his reach, Roy filled the tight crevice with fire until it glowed red like an open vein, deep and sullen. He was not about to let any of these things escape. They had already risen from the grave once, and he would not put it past them to claw their way free of the ground's clutches a second time. The slam of alchemy took him by surprise, tugging at his body like leaden chains. Al gasped in shock as Fletcher and Russell both cried out a warning, scrambling back from their designs as they overloaded with a blinding flare of light, leaving smoking craters in their place.
"What the hell?"
Russell demanded, his voice a furious snarl as he swiped his hair out of his face.
"Those arrays were fine. What happened?"
Armstrong was staring at his fists as if he had never seen them before, and Roy cringed as he saw the thick channels of destruction that the Major's last attack had left in its wake. The air was seething with tangible energy, but it was not a fuel that could be used. It was too explosive. There was no way to predict how normal transmutations would react to the burgeoning power in the air, and Roy did not dare to click his fingers and find out.
"What's happening to them?" Winry asked, stepping forward from where she had been pressed to the wall. She waved the heavy wrench in her hand towards Carmine's creations, and Roy narrowed his eyes at the sight. They were motionless, shuddering where they stood. Alchemy crackled across their skin, shaking them like a dog with a rat. They were falling apart, but it did not seem to matter that the bodies were losing their cohesion. The power within them was still as strong as ever, surging and thudding within the husks of human flesh.
"Look!" Fury's voice was a whisper, almost reverent, and the young man cuffed droplets of rain from his glasses. Roy followed his gaze, and the whirling rush of his thoughts stopped dead. His heart thrilled as bubbling amazement spread through his veins. Goosebumps dappled his skin, and the next breath caught tight in his chest as he stared, incredulous. Carmine was pinned, her hands spread in the air like they were pressed against a glass wall. She was struggling as if invisible ropes anchored her in place, and all around her, shadows flared, stretching back in fluttering veils of night. Constantly in motion, the blackness rippled outwards as it pulled away from her, spreading upwards to blanket the air. Black tendrils whispered around the woman's face, teasing her hair with misty fingers and swallowing the raindrops that fell in their path. Ed knelt on the floor, hands still pressed together as the report of his clap echoed across the square. His eyes were open, staring their golden accusations at the woman opposite him, and his features pinched with pain. Behind him, spars of white light stabbed outwards through the gloom. It encircled him in a brutal halo, bleaching out his hair to the faintest gold and draining the life from his face.
"Are those wings?" Fletcher asked, as if he could not believe his eyes. His lips parted and his eyes like saucers.
"No," Al whispered, awed. "It's their alchemy. Look at the array." The large circle that Ed had drawn to contain their fight was flashing black and white, turning the puddles into liquid night and day as the energy chased through the lines. It made the water-slick stones gleam, shining up into the faces of the 2 alchemists deadlocked at its center. Around Carmine's boots, the blackness was absolute, just as the whiteness beneath Ed's knees was pure and untainted. Gradually, the 2 extremes began to meet and blur, blending into a dazzling silver that reminded Roy of moonlight, cool and distant. For a few seconds, neither of them moved, but Roy saw the moment that realization touched the woman's mind with ice-cold fingers. Her eyes widened,
rain catching on her lashes like tears as her lips parted, the last tatters of color left her face, and he saw her muscles convulse as she renewed her struggle to escape. There were no words now, only a single-minded determination to break free and stop her enemy, but it was too late. This time the clap was quiet, no more than one palm pressed to the other before Ed bowed his head in concentration. At first, there was nothing but the persistent downpour, but after a moment, Roy saw the first spark of light ignite beneath Ed's mismatched palms as a new array crawled outwards. It formed in loops and twists, painstakingly drawn as energy rushed in front of it, smoothing over the ground and erasing the cracks and flaws in its canvas. "Move back," he ordered hoarsely, stepping away as the lines encroached on their position, creeping ever outwards in sweeping curves. Their footsteps echoed off the walls of the surrounding buildings as they retreated, never turning their backs on what was happening. Carmine's creatures seemed to shake themselves free of their thrall, tearing away from the jolt and shudder of alchemy that flowed over their skin. Their movements were boneless and clumsy as they stepped out of the path of Ed's array. Their eyes gleamed as they clustered by the steps of riders, and Roy saw them exchanging glances and hand gestures, plotting their next move. Just because their creator was otherwise occupied, it did not mean that their task was over. He suspected they would fight until the last one was destroyed. This was a temporary ceasefire. They would strike again without warning at the first chance they got.
"It will kill you!"
Carmine's howl carried easily now that neither gunfire nor half-dead battle cries filled the air. Roy's focus shifted instantly back to the array, and his fingers ached with the need to snap and engulf the hateful woman in flame. She was searching for Ed's fears, trying to find some weakness she could use now that physical attack was no longer an option. And he longed to silence her by force. If Ed lost his concentration now, then the result would be catastrophic, and from the gleam in Carmine's eyes, she knew as much.
"Do you think the world will remember your sacrifice?"
she demanded incredulously.
"Do you think they will be grateful?"
Her voice went up an octave, a gasping, wrathful scream as the circumference drew itself in a bold line of light, completing the array.
"What makes you think you will even succeed?"
Ed's eyes opened a fraction, and a feral grin twitched on his lips as he snarled, "If there was no chance of me winning, then you wouldn't be so afraid. It's as plain as day that you're fucking terrified." Roy could see the certainty in Ed's face, and he felt the first whisper of relief begin to flow through his veins. Fear, icy and illogical, had made him think that Ed would be timid and withdrawn, somehow a victim of events. Instead, it was as plain as day that he was as in control as ever. He was in command of his own destiny, and he would not let the gate win.
"Sir!"
Fallman's shout was almost drowned out by the raw, crackling shout of dozens of dead voices, and Roy jerked around to face the rank of corpses in uniform. He squared his shoulder and flexed his fingers, trying to ignore the damp cling of the gloves against his palms. They still worked, just about, but he was not sure how much more of this his men could take. Everyone was exhausted and haggard, braced wearily for the next inevitable attack. The undead sprang forward, racing clumsily around the edge of the array from both sides. They trapped Roy's command neatly in a textbook pincer movement, and he felt sweat gloss his brow. If Carmine's army had been civilians, then it would have been easier to outmaneuver them, but even held together by only a few strands of power, the rotten creatures were a formidable army. A flurry of gunfire brought Roy's slow thoughts up to speed, and he carefully angled his fingers to cautiously click. The flame barely needed any input from him, dancing across the air and turning the rain to billowing steam as it flashed from one body to the next. Armstrong was only using his weaker attacks, afraid of their reliability and volatile atmosphere. And Russell and Fletcher had rushed to the walls, drawing on the only open space left. Something lunged for him, and Roy snarled a curse as a blade cut in under his eye, scoring a bloody line over his cheekbone. The lieutenant gave a clattering chuckle of triumph as it danced away, juggling the rusty blade from one hand to the other.
Without any hesitation, he cremated it. But another took its place before Roy had time to shake the tension out of his fingers. He felt shaken and weak, and every ember he ignited or tendril of flame he led through the dead ranks seemed to be growing weaker. Letting his face fall into an angry snarl, he threw caution into the wind and hurled all he had at the next spark. It roared outward, circling around the boundary of the array and catching dozens of staggering corpses in its grasp. The gale changed direction, sucking in to feed the flame, and it took a few seconds for him to realize his mistake. Without thinking, he manipulated the gases in the air, desperately trying to dwindle the inferno before it starved itself of oxygen and blew back along the alleys, seeking more air. But it was too late. It had burned too hot and hard, and already the fire was reaching back out towards the edges of the square, chasing the gases it needed as he desperately tried to deprive it of fuel. Get down. Now! No one questioned his order, throwing themselves to the cobbles as the flame whirled around them, unfurling up the walls and scorching the brickwork. It took all of Roy's concentration to snuff the fire out before it could race down the narrow streets, but he felt the last of it vanish with a puff of steam, losing its battle with the rain before it had got too far. Opening his eyes, he stared around, blinking to clear away the steady swirl of dizziness. His stomach rolled with nausea as his muscles shook with exhaustion, but before he could do so much as stumble, Hughes had a hand on his shoulder. "Well done!" He gestured to the tattered corpses still burning where they had fallen. But it was only a half-success. Their ungainly comrades were already climbing over them and carrying on the charge. "Could have killed us," Roy muttered hoarsely, raising an eyebrow when Mace shook his head, lifting his hands to show the array glowing on his skin. "Ed had us covered," Hughes replied with a grin, flicking one of his knives through the air with enviable skill. "Just rest for a second. Hawkeye and I have got your back." At the mention of Ed's name, Roy looked towards the array, breathing a sigh of relief when he saw that the ground within remained unscorched. Ed was still on his knees, focusing so hard that he may as well have been in another world entirely. He did not look up or twitch a muscle, even as Carmine continued to thrash and struggle. Slowly the rain began to ease, and the gale died down to nothing but a whisper. Overhead the storm continued to growl its threats, but it was a distant noise, inconsequential to the breathlessness that stretched across the cobbles. Yet inside the array the downpour intensified, slamming down into the surface and raising puffs of crystal blue light wherever it struck. Ed's clothes were soaked through, running with water as his hair hung in a solid dark curtain around his face. The wind threw itself at the circumference, whipping itself into a frenzy and blowing scattered grains of dusty ash up into its clutches as, beneath their feet, the ground rolled softly like a giant turning over in its sleep. "What the hell?" Havoc croaked as he struggled for balance, hanging onto Hawkeye's shoulder as he stared. "What's going on?" "Look!" Breida's voice was half amazed, half afraid, as he pointed to the wavering flames that still nibbled at the fallen timbers. They were rapidly drying out, but even as they faded, wisps of gold and amber reached towards the array like imploring hands. "He's using the elements," Al called out, taking in the evidence with astute eyes. Sometimes it was easy for Alphonse's intelligence to be eclipsed by Edward's genius, but at that moment, Roy could see the flash and burn of theory and thought across his features. "He's using natural energy rather than human life to fuel the transmutation." "Can he do that?" Fletcher asked, his young face pinched with a frown as he tried to understand. Al looked at Ed with a mixture of fierce pride and deep concern. "Not really." He lifted his head and straightened his shoulders before adding, "But if anyone can do it, brother can." "Not without fire," Roy murmured to himself, taking in the status of the fight with one sweep of his eyes. His massive attack had tipped the balance more in their favor, but the corpse soldiers were unrelenting. They were driven back and torn apart, smashed and crushed and battered, but they never stopped. They would not tire as easily as their living counterparts, but for now, he would trust his command to keep them at bay. Cautiously,
Roy stepped up to the edge of the array, forcing his tired mind to concentrate as he guided the flames away from the burning wood. They danced like silk along the bluster of the wind, skipping and dancing as they weaved through the air. He could sense the hunger of the alchemy all around him. The design on the ground was like a gaping mouth, and the fire seeped down into the lines as if it belonged there. It flowed along twists and filled the intricate outline, darting towards where Ed's palm rested on the cobbles. Ed opened his eyes, looking up at Roy with his lips slightly parted. There was a brief flicker of pleased surprise across his features before he tipped his head to the side in silent gratitude. This close, Roy could hear the shrilling shriek of the alchemy, and he knew that it must be deafening to Ed, caught up in its center like a leaf in the eye of a hurricane. Weak and drained, Roy let his hand fall to his side, wishing that there was more he could do. Helplessness did not sit well with him. He longed to step through the lines that blocked his way like barbed wire and take Ed away from this, to run and hide from the world and the future and just live for a few more hours in his arms. There was so much he had not said and done, and his emotions were swollen and bittersweet in his chest, too intense to be contained. He had shared his bed with many people, but never before had he considered sharing his life with them. Part of him, as wary and defensive as ever, wondered if he would have felt the same if circumstances had been different. If he honestly believed Ed would come back, would he still feel the tight thrash of love filling his heart and burning under his skin, too strong a fire for even him to control? Yes. The answer was clear in his mind, an unshaken foundation in the ruins of his beliefs, and his mouth went dry as he realized the extent of what he had to lose. God, he was selfish, because the world could end and rot in hell as long as he could call Ed his. Except that it was too late to stop this. Ed was caught up in the alchemy, as much its slave as its master, and there was nothing Roy could do to free him from its clutches. He was helpless to do anything except tell the truth. Taking a deep breath of the smooth, rain-cleansed air, Roy let every emotion racing through him take shape on his features as he said, "I love you." He did not expect to be heard, but a quick, wild grin curved Ed's lips as he shut his eyes for a moment. There was no way Ed's voice could carry through the symphony of sound created by the array, but Roy saw his lips move, forming words that snatched at his heart and cracked it open with fierce joy. "I love you too, idiot." For one heartbeat, one breath, the world was right again. Even if it was falling apart, it was a better place than Roy had ever known, and his chest filled with a brief rush of pure happiness. He did not doubt a word of Ed's claim, could not, because he knew that there were some lies Ed would never let past his lips. When he chose to give himself, it was wholeheartedly and without restraint. Ed loved him, and Roy did not know if the knowledge was a balm to his wounds or a blade between his ribs. The chances that Ed would succeed and survive were minuscule, and Roy already hurt more than he ever thought possible. Not a physical pain, but an emotional one opening like an abyss in his soul, dark and consuming. Roy was unable to tear his gaze from Ed's face, was unable to look away for what he knew could be the last time. He wanted something, some kind of reassurance that the near future was not as grim as it looked. He wanted to demand promises, even though he knew that no oath they made could be kept. At least assurances, however empty, would let him pretend that hope was fact and that joy was something he could find in this life again. Instead, he was left with nothing but terrible, stabbing fear, coiled tight in his stomach and twisting in his chest. As he watched, Ed lifted his chin, gold eyes taking on that familiar flare of defiance that Roy had seen so often. Although Ed did not speak a word, he was telling Roy everything he possibly could in the one glance. He was committed to this alchemy now, caught up in it like a fish in a net, and he would see it through to the end, wherever it may take him. Still, if he did make it through to the other side, if the day's end was something that he lived to see,
then he would give just as much passion and devotion to their future together as he gave to everything else in life. All Roy had to do was keep fighting. Their agreement was silent, unspoken but unbreakable, and Roy took one step back from the edge of the array. It was out of his hands. That much was clear. He had to make sure that there was still an Amstrus left to save. And Ed? Ed had to find his way to the end of this and face whatever was waiting for him. Hastily, always aware of the harsh screams and brutal grunts of the remaining dead soldiers, Roy took in the sweeping array, searching for breaks or flaws as Ed concentrated once more on the flow of alchemy. Each line was a work of art, blossoming into other, smaller arrays that captured his attention. It was so intricate that he knew it would take years to appreciate the fullness of the image, and he felt a burst of passionate pride at Ed's creation. It was far above and beyond Roy's own abilities, and he suspected that it was the kind of array that could only be born of true genius. Yet it was not active. He could hear the whine of power within its boundaries, but it seemed to be lacking one final jolt of power to push it over capacity and ignite the transmutation. As if in answer to his thoughts, the thunder growled, low and threatening, and lightning flickered in the bilious mass of clouds overhead, casting eerie shadows across the square. Roy expected it to die away, but instead the space between each flash reduced, and vivid violet lines scrawled their way towards a central point directly above Ed's head. The hairs on the back of Roy's neck stood on end, and he staggered away as he realized what Ed was planning to do. "Take cover!" he yelled, turning his back to run as the rain crashed down once more like a river from behind a burst dam. Without a second thought, he darted into one of the narrow alleys a split second before the world was full of the screaming rage of the storm. Bright pinks and blues seared across his vision, dazzling him as the air pulsed and burned with power. The hot, dry scent of burnt stone filled his nose, and his ribs trembled like a drumskin, reverberating in response to the soul-shaking roar that filled the square from one edge to the other. Instinctively, he clapped his hands over his ears as he hunkered down, but he did not dare to close his eyes. He was already defenseless enough as it was, his senses blocked by the overwhelming thrash of alchemy, and he could not risk blinding himself to any possible attacks. Silhouettes formed patches of night against the blinding glow. Most were crouched down, pressed against walls or curled up tight in an effort to protect themselves. But Carmine's thugs had not been quick enough. They were caught up in a tempest of unimaginable heat and light, their bodies locked in pained rigor as their mouths gaped open in endless screams. Abruptly, the power shrank inwards, earthing itself with thrusting surety in the outer circle of the array. It sank down until the air was clear once more, and all of that desperate, thrashing energy was shrieking through the lines of the design. Above, the storm sulked in silence, thick clouds still churning even if they were drained of their vitality. Gales that had died to mere whispers strengthened again, raising their voices in a keening howl as the heat haze above the array thickened and coiled, pulling apart the atmosphere and opening the way into the plain where the old gate had stood. Shifting curtains of light unfurled around the edge of the circle, blocking its interior from sight as it marked the boundary between one world and the next. Roy could still make out glimpses of Ed and Carmine, but it was only brief snatches of events. Even those seemed opaque and distant, as if the two of them had traveled miles without moving an inch and were now beyond his reach. Stunned, Roy got to his feet and surveyed his command. They made a sorry sight. It was obvious that everyone, not just the alchemists, were running out of fight. Hawkeye was the first to stand up, brushing off her drenched skirt ineffectually as she took dazed stock. Hughes was sitting in a puddle, mouth open as he blinked in astonishment at the column of white punching its way from the cobbles up into the sky. Fallman and Fury were crouching at Armstrong's side, taking shelter behind the massive man's frame, as Alex faced reality with broad shoulders and bulging muscles. "Holy shit!" Russell whispered from Roy's left, hoarse-voiced and visibly shaking.
He had thrown his arms around his brother's head and dragged him to the ground, and Fletcher was still pinned in the loose circle of his embrace, trembling with cold and shock. What the hell is he? Alchemists can't do that kind of thing.
He's Ed, Winry muttered, her voice edged with a flare of anger as she stumbled to her feet and helped Al up. He doesn't think that the normal rules apply to him.
That wasn't normal then? Havok asked, patting his pocket absently for a cigarette before he gestured to the stretch of paving between where they stood and the front door of Ryder's. Got rid of those things for us, though. Guess that means our bit's done.
Roy looked across the rain-dappled no-man's land. There were a few slicks of ash, but mostly there were bits of corpse littered around, jerked apart by the first explosive lightning strike. Jagged-ended arms and blocky torsos, heads and legs lay forlornly where they had fallen, and the ground between them was full of the dark, snaking script of alchemy, crawling over the shattered stones.
"Don't bet on that," Roy muttered quietly, his lips twitching into a grimace as, inch by inch, the pieces began to pull themselves back together. Those corpses that could were scavenging bits of their fallen comrades, letting the alchemy knit them patchwork bodies as they jerkily regrouped. A pair of them were fighting over an arm, arguing in dry, dead voices as the power continued to sweep outwards, a testament of Carmine's hatred. As Roy watched, more of the black energy crawled off down the alleyways, searching for any corpse it could use.
"I think I'm gonna be sick," Breida choked, his lips pressed together tight as he glanced towards Roy. "Got any fire left, sir?"
Roy shook his head. Both sets of gloves were drenched through, utterly useless, and all of the flame from the area had been dragged into the array. There was nothing he could use, and even if there was, he was not sure he could control it. Even Havoc's matches were failing to light in the sodden air, and he gave a snarl of frustration as he threw them to the ground. Abruptly, the lights flared in the windows of Ryder's, their warm and welcoming glow at stark odds with the horrors beyond its doors. Curtains were thrown back and glass rattled in the frames as the casements were thrown open like the wings of birds. Sally leaned out, her usually neat hair in disarray. Her cheeks were flushed as if she had been running, and the silk of her gown was heavy with rain. In one hand she held a glowing paraffin lamp, and in the other was a bottle with a rag shoved in the top. Her expression was one of cold, hard fury as she touched the flame to the cloth's tattered edge before throwing it with all her might at the cobbles below. Glass shattered as it hit the unforgiving stone, splashing burning liquid in all directions. Some of it struck one of the corpses, eating away at his musty uniform as he patted at it ineffectually, desperately trying to smother the flames. More volleys followed suit, darting from every window like falling fireflies as the walking bodies struggled to get themselves out of range of the unpredictable attacks.
"Drive them back towards the steps," Roy ordered, holding out a hand for Hawkeye's spare gun and taking steady aim before firing. "Get them within range of the windows, but stay out of their way. Don't give them the chance to catch you, or they'll burn you along with them."
To his left, a long, low growl rose from the shadows, and he shuddered at the mass of glowing eyes, mad and deadly, that gleamed out at him. The bodies of cats, dogs, and rats moved forward, bedraggled fur bristling and yellow teeth gleaming in the light. No doubt their corpses had been discarded along with the rubbish in the alleys, and now they had been given life again by Carmine's power. Without hesitation, they lunged forward, biting into flesh and bone indiscriminately. They were less controlled than their human counterparts, and their attack was an uncoordinated frenzy, terrifying in its unpredictability. Breida looked as if he was swiftly heading into a catatonic state of fear, barely able to function as his horror overwhelmed him. Even Hawkeye, normally professional to the last, could not contain her revulsion as she pulled the trigger repeatedly, pushing the creatures back into the range of Sally's fiery rain. A ripple of darkness in the glimmering wall around the array caught Roy's attention, and he watched a figure step out into the square. One brief moment of relief,
He almost believed what he saw, almost accepted that, as quickly as it had begun, it was over. He drank in the sight of Ed as he walked closer, his scuffed boots splashing in the puddles. No injuries tore their way through his flesh, and his hair fell in a neat, dry braid down his back. No signs of illness or fatigue racked his expression, and, for the first time in years, he looked completely healthy and perfectly strong. Before Roy's feet had a chance to close the distance between them, logic shattered apart his hopes like a battering ram. If Ed was here, then who was controlling the transmutation that still cleaved the air apart with its ferocity behind him? What he saw was an encapsulation of everything he wished for so utterly. Ed whole and safe and his, and it would have been so easy to walk forward into his arms, naive and blind. "I've learned my lesson," Roy muttered quietly as he raised the gun, pointing it dead center at the chest of the illusion in front of him. The fall of Ed's face was so real that it clenched at his heart, and he gritted his teeth together as Ed's voice asked, "Roy, what are you doing? It's me." "Prove it," he rasped, shifting his grip on the revolver and pressing his finger more tightly around the trigger. "What did you tell me just before you activated the array?" Silence, and he knew that Ed would not have even hesitated to tell him, even if he was exasperated and a little embarrassed at having to repeat his sentiments. Instead, the face he knew so well hardened, warm eyes turning from sunlight to frozen amber as Envy's sneer twisted Ed's lips. "So you didn't fall for it," he purred, putting one hand on his hip as he watched Roy. "Bet you still can't kill me while I'm wearing that little shit's face." Roy hesitated, tightening his finger on the trigger until the metal bit into his skin. All other sounds, from the cries of the dying corpses to Hawkeye's orders, and the flash and burn of the other alchemists' arrays had fallen away, leaving a tinny, false silence all around him. With an echoing bark, the gun released its bullet, kicking fiercely in Roy's hand as the shot flew true and sure towards Envy. The homunculus's eyes widened in surprise, but with a speed too quick to follow, he darted out of the way, letting the bullet speed harmlessly by as he ran forward, his form changing with every step. Roy fired twice more, but the shots went wide as Envy leapt, his arm already forming a sharp point as he bore Roy to the ground. Before, Envy's strength had been unstoppable, but now Roy blocked him, the gun rattling as his muscles shook. Normally, he would have been overcome with ease, but now Roy was pushing Envy back, inch by inch, as he struggled for the advantage. Pearly white skin gleamed with sweat, and bloodshot lines clouded the homunculus's vivid eyes. It was a far cry from the untouchable immortality that the creatures usually embodied, and he wondered what had happened to weaken Envy so much. Hughes gave a shout of edgy fury, calling the others' attention to their struggle, but Roy forced himself to yell, "Leave it! Concentrate on getting rid of the dead soldiers. I'll deal with this." Envy pulled back to lash out, spitting a foul curse as Roy took advantage of the extra space and rolled out of range. The gun clattered to the floor, and Envy slashed it to pieces in one decisive movement, leaving Roy unarmed. Desperately, Roy reached out for the flames that still rained down on the walking dead, trying frantically to beckon them closer. But there was no spark of his alchemy left. He simply did not have the strength to transmute the air, and he spat a curse as he tried to scrabble away. A vicious kick caught him in the ribs, sending him sprawling, and he winced as a piece of a broken bottle jabbed into his arm. Blood darkened his uniform jacket, but he thought nothing of it as he closed his fingers around the smooth neck and lashed out with a jagged edge, cutting hard and deep into Envy's face. The homunculus yelled in pain and anger, pulling back and pressing a hand to his face as blood dripped through his fingers. "Fucking bastard," he spat. "Why don't you just give up? The Full Metal Pipsqueak is going to die anyway. Why not just make it easy on yourself? Let me put you out of your misery. Otherwise, you'll just have to do it yourself." "You're not healing," Roy said quietly, ignoring Envy's words as he crouched low and circled around, his impromptu weapon still clutched in his hand. "You always wanted to be human. So tell me, how does mortality feel?" "You can't stop me," Envy hissed,
cuffing the blood from his eyes and straightening up. I'm still stronger than you, and I'll still make you beg before I kill you. An ethereal sound filled the square, resonating back and forth in a high, pure note. Behind Envy, the curtain of power hiding Ed from view flared brighter, and Roy could feel the tremors in the air as something began to change. Underfoot, the cobbles bucked and trembled, and the waterlogged air took on the dry, dusty scent of the desert. Glancing around, Roy blinked, trying to make sense of what he could see. Ghostly buildings were rising from the earth, their square shapes overlaid on top of Central's homes and landmarks. With an almighty crash, the statue of the angel collapsed, chiming against the ground as its plinth crumbled to dust. The bronze melted, steadily becoming formless liquid that rippled sluggishly beneath the beat of the rain. In its place, solid and real, a fountain jerked into existence, reaching up towards the tempest-racked sky as water began to trickle down into its bowl. Sand grated under Roy's feet as he shifted, tearing his eyes away from the sight and forcing himself to focus on Envy. The homunculus had frozen in place, stiff-backed and snarling as his eyes took on a desperate gleam. Roy had never seen something as human as fear on a homunculus's face, but now Envy was riddled with it, as if he knew what was about to happen and could not think of any way to escape his fate. With an unearthly scream, the homunculus leapt forward, twisting away from the swipe of the broken bottle in Roy's hand and catching him in a glancing blow across his right shoulder. Roy clenched his jaw against the pain and forced himself to watch and wait. Envy's movements were made graceless by desperation, and he stumbled repeatedly, hacking and slicing as Roy jumped smoothly out of the way. The snap and crack of a storm filled the small plaza with its snarls, but the sky stayed dark and dim, untouched by forks of lightning. Roy's boots slipped in the puddles as he struggled to stay one step ahead of Envy, watching the homunculus's every strike fall short as he let his fear take control. A bullet from Hawkeye's gun snapped Envy back, and he clutched at his shoulder before sprinting forward yet again, hissing in rage as Roy ducked. Distantly, as if it came from miles away, the soft sound of a clap punctuated the rumbling cacophony and silence fell in its wake. The array pulsed, pushing back the veils of light as power unrolled in a cresting tsunami, sleeting around them in a glowing mist. Envy gave a choked-off cry of pain, stumbling to his knees as the fog curled around him, twisting tendrils of white around his arms as it tugged insistently. He struggled and thrashed, clawing at the stony ground as he tried to break free, but it was a hopeless effort. Bit by bit, the color bleached out of his body and clothes, draining away until he was nothing more than an outline. Before that, too, was gone. Wails and whimpers rang out eerily, and Roy lifted the jagged glass in his hand in preparation for another attack. Instead, he realized that Carmine's army was slowly melting away, flesh and bone and fur turning to dim ash, crumbling to dust as their remains were scattered to the hungry, ragged wind. Softly, the billowing sheets of energy that blocked the inside of the array from view disintegrated, and the broken bottle slid from Roy's numb fingers as he stared at the world enclosed in its boundary. Babylon sprawled in all its glory beneath a pure cerulean sky. Warm gold sunlight filled its streets, and leaves waved softly in the breeze that danced over every rooftop. He could see empty market stalls, their cloth walls fluttering like pennants in the wind, and the soft fragrance of spices and flowers welled out to meet him, tinged with the fresh, clear scent of rain. Looming over it all was a crystalline arch. It caught the sunlight, dappling the city at its feet with shattered rainbows. Metal vines crawled up over its peak and put forth a bower of flowers, tiny gems of color that shone impossibly bright amidst their nest of leaves. Beneath the columns was a vertical lake of shifting quicksilver, shining like a clouded mirror. It played tricks with his mind, appearing both close and far away all at once. But, in the end, it was not the gate that caught his attention, but the array at its base and the prone body cradled within. Roy ran forwards without a second thought,
the splash of puddles beneath his boots turning to puffs of dust as he broke through the circumference of the array and stumbled to a halt at Ed's side. He was incredibly still, his face pale and washed out against the amber warmth of the ground on which he lay. Golden tresses fluttered against Ed's cheek as the breeze swept by, making the sand whisper sadly. His clothes were torn and stained dark where Carmine had stabbed him in her desperation, and flecks of crimson stained his lips. Looking around, Roy could see other patches of rusty brown seeping back into the parched earth. "Ed?" he whispered hoarsely, getting to his knees and groping for a pulse, checking first his wrist and then his neck for even the tiniest throb of life. "Ed, please, come on, wake up." His chest was not moving, and the array on his forehead was a lifeless pattern against the bleached canvas of his skin. Ed's eyes were closed. The dark sweep of his lashes did not stir, even as Roy lightly traced a finger on the crest of his cheekbone, longing for some kind of response. His flesh was still warm to the touch, and, for all the world, Roy wished he was just sleeping. But the truth of the matter tore his heart to pieces. Even in slumber, no one was that still. "Brother?" Al's voice was a broken, fragile whisper, almost drowned out by the soft murmur of the wind along the street. He knelt down, gray eyes searching Ed's face as he clutched the automail hand between his own palms. Tears were already gleaming on his lashes, threatening to spill over, and Roy felt his own throat tighten as grief clenched in his chest. It hurt too much to speak, and Roy pulled his hand away from the warm hollow of Ed's throat, unable to bear death's evidence any longer. Ed was gone. He had given up everything to bring the gate into creation, to give the world a chance and alchemy a future. This was the price. He wanted to scream at the unfairness of it. Of all the alchemists in the world, why had this task fallen to Ed? Why had this burden placed itself so squarely on his shoulders? Hadn't he endured enough? Yet Roy's voice was lifeless, and he barely smothered a rough-edged sob as Mace knelt at his side. "Is he?" Fletcher's voice was hushed by Russell's hand on his head, and Roy glanced up to see the young boy wrap his arms around his brother, burying his face in Russell's grime-stained shirt as if to hide from the truth. Roy's command stood within the array, numb and disbelieving. Tears were pouring down Alex's face, and Hawkeye was standing stiff and statue pale, her lips twisted as if in awful pain as her brown eyes shone brightly. All of the people he cared for were within arm's reach, but Roy had never felt more alone in his life. Thanks to Ed, his future stretched before him, long and empty of everything but the hollow shell of his ambitions. Now, he wasn't sure if he could do it. He wasn't sure he could even bring himself to get up and move forward, not without Ed. He ached to stay here forever, to just lie down and close his eyes and let his life slip away. He had done his part for the world. He had let Ed take this risk and had lost the one person who really mattered as a result. What more could his country ask of him? What more could anyone expect? He had nothing left to give, not anymore. A tear tumbled off his cheek, pitting the sand before evaporating away. He could see the outline of the cobbles beneath the dust, and he realized that Babylon was slowly fading. The warmth of the sun ebbed, leaving them beneath heavy clouds in the cold aftermath of the storm. Only the fountain remained solid and sure, the water cascading over its lip and filling the air with a shifting, glistening spray. The doors of Riders opened with a bang, but Roy did not look up as Sally's footsteps hurried closer. He heard them skid to a halt and her tight, pained sound of grief as she saw Ed, but it was meaningless to him. He felt too broken to move, too weak to pick up the pieces of his life and carry on. What was the point? His breath steamed in the air, a shuddering mist that curled as the temperature plummeted. Slowly the rain faded away, replaced with flecks of white that dropped like falling stars. Snowflakes caught in Ed's hair and lingered on his cheeks for too long before melting away. In minutes, the air was filled with the shifting white curtain of a blizzard, drawing soundlessly across the battle stage. Stiffly, Roy lifted his head, looking towards where the gate had stood. But there was nothing there except Ryder's familiar facade. Babylon was gone. The war was over. And this? This felt nothing like victory. Softly, like the brush of a feather, two words unwound through the air, breathing in the shell of Roy's ear and making the snow waltz. Equivalent exchange. Beneath his knees, the array flared once, neither white nor dark, but bright, clear blue, one last flash of departing life before it fell still. Roy! Hugh's voice was tight with surprise, and he clutched at Roy's sleeve, tugging frantically to get his attention. He glanced up at his friend, seeing wide green eyes and the surprised curve of his eyebrows, before following Mace's pointing finger. At first, he did not see anything but Ed's still face, completely peaceful and painless for the first time in years. Suddenly, a tiny, shivering plume of white rose from Ed's lips, steaming in the cold air before dissipating. Roy froze in shock, heart in his throat and hammering in his ears as the tears cooled on his face. He stared, breathless. Had he imagined it? Was it just an illusion created by the cold? In the next second, it happened again, and he felt fierce hope slam through his body, chasing away the chill of grief and replacing it with enduring warmth. With quick, jerky movements, he jerked off his jacket and threw it over Ed's body, tucking the collar around his neck. "Someone get a doctor," he ordered, as beneath his palm he felt the sure, strong thud of a pulse. "What? Why?" Roy looked up at Al, his own heart lifting as he counted out the steady rhythm beneath his hand. "He's alive,"